grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the fourth commandment. Honor your father. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, it's that time of the year again, Trinity Sunday and also Father's Day. What a combination that is. And so I'm going to try to do my best to hit both of these topics. And so, as they say on the radio, you get a twin spin or a double play today. So there's no better time to hear the word of the Lord. So off we go. Honor your father. The commandment speaks to both children and to fathers. Children are to honor, and fathers are to father. Now, I give you fair warning. Parts of the sermon today will be very hard to hear. Good. Because that's the way it should be. You need to learn daily to fight against your sin instead of letting it reign full bore. In addition, when the law is preached, it kills. And that's what needs to happen to your old Adam. The only thing. Your old nature needs to be put to death daily. Why? Here's why. So that through the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit will daily then raise up the new man of faith, the new creation, who will live according to the Holy Spirit-filled word of God. So, get ready to be repented by the Lord today. Be prepared to tell the truth about your sinful condition. Confess your sin. Hear the Lord's forgiveness for you, the sinner. And then have the willing heart to honor your father and to do the tasks that God has given you fathers to do. After all, our communities and our congregation here at Trinity need children to honor. And we need fathers to be fathers. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Honor your father. Would you ignore the Lord's word here, as if you have better words than the Lord? Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't. Your words do not trump the Lord's. So newsflash, everybody, you're not God. The Holy Trinity is. One God, three persons. Therefore, the triune God has the last word on this topic, not you. Children are to honor their fathers. What does that mean? It means this. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. That's the Lord's will for you regarding the fourth commandment. Now, in addition, the all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus, categorically teaches you to pray a certain way. Do you remember what that is? He says, Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven. Again, do you have better words than the Lord? You don't. This is precisely how you are to pray to God, as our Father. All authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus, has the say-so here, nobody else. So let's get this straight right out of the chute today, shall we? God is Father. He is not like a father. He is the Father of the eternally begotten Son that took on the flesh and died on the cross, Jesus, from whom the Holy Spirit proceeds. So Jesus says, when you pray, pray our Father who art in heaven. Now I know that it's politically incorrect and theologically irresponsible these days to pray that way. Believe me. Believe me, I am fully aware that the smile on their faces, utopian, purple shirt, high church, elegant, chasuble sporting, and pectoral cross-wearing, tyrannical of the highest order, ecclesiastical bigwigs, are all about deconstructing. That is to say, tearing down or eliminating what Jesus says. The Welcoming Place people in this country today bullishly insist that you should pray differently. Do you know how that is? Paganly, goddessly. I said goddessly. Priestessly, gnostically. You don't believe me? Go to a website called herchurch.org, all one word, herchurch.org. And behold, how one of the largest Protestant churches in this country tolerates and promotes not the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, but better words of their own. These people follow a different spirit than the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they mandate that you pray not to God as our Father. Now listen carefully. This is how they say you should pray. You should pray to our Mother. Or more specifically, you are to pray our Mother who is within us. In addition, these genteel black or purple shirts with white tab clerical collars insist that baptisms be done in the name of, and I quote, Mother, Lover, and Friend, or Wisdom, Word, and Breath of Life, end quote. Now let's be clear. When you pray to God, not as our Father, but rather as our Mother within us, or when you apply water, not according to our Lord's mandate and institution words that you heard earlier from Matthew 28, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you no longer have access to the triune God. And those baptisms are not Christian baptisms. Oh, people are getting wet, but that's it. Because people have absented themselves from the triune God. They may be praying lots of words, but the triune God does not listen. Why is that? Here's why. Because you only have access to the triune God according to what? His name. And his name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. God only gives you access to himself by and through his name given to you in your baptism. And his name again is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you deconstruct that, you claim to have better words than Jesus, to whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been given, then you are no longer church. Our Mother within us is just the satanic lie of Genesis 3 all over again. What was that lie? You shall be as God. Our Mother within us is the warmed over like a refrigerator leftover satanic lie that you have a spark of divinity within you. And all that you need to do is to look deep inside the darkness and the quietness of your inner soul and become one with the hidden spark of divinity deep inside of you. Fan it into flame so that you can finally do what? Reach your potential. In other words, become the God that you are. Such people teach that you need to realize that you are, in fact, God. Do you realize how false that is? We are sinful human beings. What got us all into trouble in the first place is when our first parents, Adam and Eve, decided to ditch being human beings and scratch the satanic itch to be like God. God within you? Seriously? That's all in the way of death and damnation, and I'm quite serious about that. This is absolutely hellacious. Well, I've got the truth and good news for you. The Trinity is only God for you and for your salvation as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He gave you his divine name and holy baptism. And to be given God's name and holy baptism means that God has saved you. The triune name and salvation go together. Give thanks to God, brothers and sisters, every day that your earthly father, together with your earthly mother, brought you to a pastor who faithfully baptized you according to Christ's words in Matthew 28. In the New Testament, Jesus uses Father more than any other name for God. By doing this, then, Jesus expresses his particular Father-Son relationship that he then extends to you through the Holy Spirit's delivery of Christ's forgiveness in the Word and sacraments. In the Holy Trinity, the Father has always and will be forever the Father to the only begotten Son. God is Father. He is God the Father for you by creating you. That's why we heard the reading from Genesis at the beginning today. He is God the Father for you by sending his son Jesus to die for you and then sanctifying you through the Holy Spirit's work in the Word. That's a fact. The essence of what it means to be a father is found in God the Father, not in human fathers. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but here goes. God the Father exercises his fatherhood through human fathers. So the word father describes exactly who God is. He is not as the deist taught, you know, like Ben Franklin. He is not like the deist taught, a creator who gets everything going and then takes off to let everything fend for itself. God is father, which means he loves what he creates. He's no deadbeat dad. He sticks with his creation to care for it, redeem it, and holy it. God the Father actually uses his creation or his creatures, fathers, as his instruments in creation. And so that's precisely why the fourth commandment begins with the word honor. Honor your father. Why? Because God, the Father, used your father to give you life and to take care of your life physically as well as spiritually. Through the office or vocation of father, God calls a man to serve the neighbor. Not only his wife, but also his child or children. When the mother carries the child in her belly, the father serves his child indirectly. At this time, he serves his child as he takes care of his wife, who carries the baby. Together with his wife, the father then lives sacrificially for his child. The father's headship and care with which God has vested him are now extended to the baby. In the vocation or office of father, God is at work, giving a gift through the Father and to the Father. God the Father embodies his love through the physical Father on this earth for the sake of the growing family. And so as the Father lives sacrificially for his family, he exhibits part of God the Father's incredible and perfect love for all of us. Now I want you to hear one more thing and then I'll close with this. I want you to listen to one more important task of self-sacrificial service that the Lord has given to you fathers. It's from Ephesians 6. Fathers, bring up your children in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So I ask you, according to that text, unless you think you've got better words than that one, I ask you, according to the text, whose responsibility is it for the child's spiritual welfare? Ain't mine. I'm not responsible for your kid's spiritual welfare. Neither is the Sunday school teacher. Oh, we'll help. But who is responsible, according to this text? Dad. And if there's no dad in the family, whoever's the head of the household. So I guess it's time for us to learn once again, or maybe for the first time in our lives, that it pleases God the Father to use the vocation of an earthly father to bring salvation to his sinners. Jesus declared in Luke 12, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom." The Lord uses fathers to do just that very thing. When you read the book of Acts, what do you find? That when a man was converted to Christianity, when he was brought to faith in Jesus Christ, what did the man or the father of the house do? He brought his entire household with him. He didn't say, "Well, I'll wait for the kids to grow up and then they can decide what they want." That has never happened in the New Testament. Never. And so the father is to do evangelism. But where? He is to evangelize. He is to gospel his child or children. Evangelism and mission starts where? In the family. And it continues in the family. Or to use the biblical terminology, dad is to raise and train up a member of the holy and royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2. The father must see to it that his child or children are baptized in the triune name, brought to faith in Jesus, sustained in that faith through the preaching of God's word, by attending the divine service, receiving the Lord's Supper, learning how to pray, and then continuing to hunger for all the Lord's gifts. Dad is to establish a Christian home where God's grace and forgiveness are given to sinners, and fathers are to take this work very seriously. It's eternal life or death serious. Not just for his child, but also for himself. The father must also tend to his own spiritual care in the same way, in order to be an example for his own family. Now, for faithful fathers, we give the Lord profuse thanks and praise. But to be quite honest, and I'm speaking in general here, this is where fathers are most disobedient, and they and our congregation must be exhorted to repent and to do better. Fathers seem to put everything else first, don't they? Work, ESPN, fishing, hunting, racing, golfing, ball practices, ball games, sleep, yard work, home improvement projects, or anything, anything in the world that they can find to do at 10:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Everything but teach God's word, teach God's word to his child, to pray the commandments, the creed, and the Lord's Prayer, take the child to Sunday school, and then going to Bible class, being an example, take the child to church. Generally speaking, I said generally speaking, that's not even on Dad's radar screen. Fathers generally abdicate this divine responsibility, and we, as an entire congregation, disobediently and foolishly give them permission to do it. So is it any wonder that too many of the children in our congregation know absolutely nothing or very little from God's word, care nothing for God's word, and attend the divine service very rarely, if at all? And then after they're confirmed, most of them, we never see them again. So it shouldn't surprise our congregation one bit that too many of our children are apathetic to God and his word and to his gifts of salvation given in the divine service. The apple doesn't fall far from. Just like Dad. They've learned quite well. And so then our children become easy prey for cults like the Latter-day Saints, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and Scientology. Our children become quite easily full-blown materialists, narcissists, nihilists, or just full-blown atheists. So it's high time for all of us at Trinity to repent for our sins against our fathers and for the fathers' sins against their children and family. This is quite serious stuff. And we'd better repent before it's too late. There will come a day when we won't be able to repent. That day will be when Jesus reveals himself in glory on the last day, and the time of repentance will be over. And so we at Trinity had better use the time that the Lord has given us to listen to his word, use Christ's blood for the forgiveness of our sins in this matter, and then beg the Lord to use us all, and most especially fathers, as his instruments to care for children both physically and spiritually. I mean, isn't that what you want? It is, isn't it? Good. Now, one final thing. It's what Jesus has mandated for pastors to proclaim. And no doubt you're hungry for it, especially after everything that I've preached today. And so I'm not going to be stingy, and I'm not going to hold back. Are you ready for it? Are you? All right. Here goes. The Lord Jesus died for you, his sinners. His blood that stained the wood of the cross and reddened the earth purifies you from all your sin. So, I now ask you, and I want an answer. Seriously, I want a verbal answer. I ask you, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? Good. And so as you believe, so you have. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.